everyone. Welcome to Reach Higher Riverside, where we share all Reach Higher stories happening across the nation. My name is Priscilla Grijalva, and I am your Reach Higher Riverside podcast host. Everyone, I hope you had a great summer. I took about 2 months off from podcasting, and it's great to be back. And to kick off this school year, we have an interview with Tyrell Key. He's an administrator in Illinois, and he's doing great work with his YouTube channel. He's, I like to call him an influencer because he's really positive and has a lot of great energy. So you'd have to check out his YouTube channel. He's going to talk about that. He was also the Collinsville School District Educator of the Year in 2017. He was recognized by the College Board in 2018, and he was the Illinois School Counselor of the Year in 2021. He's doing great work, and I'm so excited to share this interview with you. I hope you guys have a great school year. Hi, everyone. I'm with Tyrell Key. And he's an amazing administrator out in Illinois. And I just wanted to share some great tips with you on all the great work that he's doing and let him share what he's doing out there. So if you can kind of introduce yourself and let everyone know where you're from, maybe where you went to college and what you currently do.
Okay. Hey, what's up, everyone? My name is Tyrell Key. And like she said, like Priscilla said, I am an assistant principal. I'm the former Illinois School Counselor of the Year for the year 2021. I'm a YouTuber. I travel the country, like training people in all kinds of topics in education, and just go out and have a good time and meet people and build community and just do things like that. That's me.
Yeah, and you were also a school counselor, so you get the job of a school counselor, so we're very grateful to have you in that role. Can you talk about your role to becoming a school counselor, or your road to getting to that part? I guess you could tell everyone how you got there.
Okay, so this is okay. I'm gonna try not to take up too much time with it, but all right. So basically, what ended up happening? I thought in college, I went to Mizzou, and I thought that I was gonna become like some executive or something like that. I was like, all right, man, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna leave college. I'm gonna make millions of dollars, right? That was like my idea, right? But one day, I ended up substitute teaching, and I fell in love with kids. And so I ended up teaching for 4.5 years because someone ended up leaving in the middle of the year. So that's like back when I got home to St. Louis. And while I was a teacher, I realized that these conversations that I was having with students, you know, about their home lives and just all of these incredible things that were going on, some positive, some negative, they were just so important to me. And they were like the best part of my job. So I was like, maybe if I became a school counselor, I could do this all the time. So I ended up going back to school, became a school counselor, went to Lindenwood University to become a school counselor. I had fantastic teachers, became a school counselor at Collinsville High School in Illinois. So I left St. Louis and came over to Illinois. And basically, I started off. And I'm not going to lie, I was terrible, like, as a new school counselor. I had ideas about what I wanted to do, but I just didn't really know how to do it. And I didn't really have, like, good practices. I didn't know how to maintain a calendar. And, like, everything that was good that I did was sort of haphazard. And I just kind of learned, like, kind of, you know, just gradually, you know, I gradually got better a little bit each year. I remember one year I was talking to one of my coworkers. We were riding the car back. I was like, man, people just don't respect us as much as the other two counselors. And then in my head, I was like, well, you know, that's our fault. You know, like, we need to go out and do something great for students, and we need to continue to provide great service. And when we do that, then the respect will naturally come. And then, you know, everything else will start to flow from that. So I ended up just creating a bunch of different programs and redesigning our counseling department and just doing so many different things. And that's kind of how I ended up, doing some of the cool stuff that I've been doing now.
Well, that's good. I know, like, as a first year counselor, I even admit, like, I wasn't great either. There's so many questions and so much to know. And as you get older with experience, you kind of get the hang of it, and then you get better and better. So that's great that you took the initiative with programs and you just jumped right in. Mm-hmm. And now you're an administrator, so you can relate and help school counselors in that role too.
Right. Yeah, I think what's interesting is, like, you know, a lot of people think, like, you know, because I'm an administrator now, like, I have, like, these opinions of people where I think everyone has to be like I was as a finished product, or, like, not even finished, but, like, you know, like a more complete product than I was at the beginning. But I realized that everyone, like people are in different stages of that journey, you know. Some people might just be okay with, you know, like providing reasonable service. And there are other people that are ambitious that want to become great and do extraordinary things for students. And I just really, I think like as I age and I mature, I just understand people a little bit more. Some people, you know, like they can't put in like the amount of effort, you know, that I might have put in, which was sometimes maybe even abusive to myself. Because I wanted to do something for children. And you do the same things too. Like you do a lot, you know, just outside of just work and everything else, just to provide, you know, opportunities for students. So, you know.
Yeah, it's also about balance, right? Mm-hmm. Just taking care of yourself. So I was on your podcast. So if you guys don't know, his podcast is Keys to Success. It's on YouTube and he also has it on Apple, I believe. Mm-hmm. But he asked some questions on the podcast when he interviewed me. So I'm going to flip the switch and go ahead and ask him some of these questions. Mm-hmm. So what are your whys and what motivates you?
All right. So my whys, I believe that like the way that I value my life or the way that I value, you know, just anything really is like what opportunities you provide for other people. Like, what do you do with the talent that you have, like to make life better for other people? Like that, you know, like that's my thing. Like I really have a true heart of service, in my opinion, anyway. I like the story of, I like the story of the 10 talents. You know, I'm not going to turn this into like some religious thing or anything like that, but in the Bible, like, you know, like some people had like, you know, like some, like, you know, a few talents, some people had more, but it really just mattered. Like what you, even if you lost the talents, like that was better than not trying to do anything at all. And I think like my goal in life is to at least try, like, you know, I'm gonna shoot my shot every single time to try to make a difference, to try to make the world slightly better than it was before. I mean, right now I'm shooting my shot in media. You know, I have no media training or anything like that, but I want to provide a platform for educators to really just to advocate for ourselves and to explain like what we do to the world, because there's so many people that have no idea exactly what we're doing. Like some of the stuff is confusing. We use a lot of acronyms and stuff like that. So I want to make something that's engaging and that opens up education for the world to explore, you know, and I don't know.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you have really engaged a lot of people with your YouTube channel and just in your life. You're very inspirational. Like you just really motivate people, like just your energy when you're in the room with you. I know I met you at Ask and I was just like, wow, like he's a really nice guy and he's so energetic. Like you just make people smile when they meet you. So
thank you. Make me smile too.
Well, thank you. So how have you grown as an educator since your first year as a professional?
Yeah. So I actually, when I made that question, I was thinking like, man, I was bad. Like, you know, when I first started. So when I first started as an educator, I was a decent substitute teacher, but when I got thrown into the classroom, so a teacher quit in the middle of the year because like the class was rough. So my mom just happened to teach at the school and they couldn't find anyone. So she was like, Terrell, you need to apply for this job because you could just do this. Well, you can't just do teaching. And I think that we're going to find this out on the back end, you know, like with some of the stuff that's going on today. So I, you know, I had to go like to get classes and get certified and stuff like that, because teaching is an extremely rough job. So, you know, I thought I knew what teaching looked like because I had been taught, but the actual practice and the technique and the skill set and just the level of understanding of what you're doing and why you're doing it and when you're doing it, is just totally different than like what your perceptions might be. So, you know, like I grew as a teacher. Then as a school counselor, I, you know, like I said, I wasn't that great, but I literally like I focus on trying to get 1% better, just doing one thing better, like, you know, over and over and over again. I reflect on the things that I did wrong and I try to get better. And I've been working like now, like, you know, to kind of reflect also on the things that I get right. But for so long in my career, like it's like, hey, you did this wrong, but you could get it right next time. You could do this next time. And then just gradually, even if I don't get it right the next time, then I'm just going to make it happen more often than it did not happen. So like, you know, and then eventually what ends up happening is like you start getting recognition and stuff like that. And, you know, sort of like you did, you know, National Lifetime Changer of the Year, like you tried and tried and tried over and over again, like for other different things and other different opportunities, like to meet Michelle Obama, like, you know, and, you know, it didn't work at first, but eventually over time, you just kept trying and eventually you get to where you want to be. And that's really just been like the story of my time as an educator. it has been the story of me as a YouTuber. I have made a lot of mistakes. I'm telling you, like, there's a lot of mistakes in me already because I just keep shooting my shot every single time. But it allows me to learn faster. Sometimes I probably should slow down and not shoot all the shots, and I should do a little bit more research first. But I've shot so many shots that I miss so much, but I learn from when I miss. I don't really get down on myself. And it's been the same story, like, in literally everything that I did, whether it's getting married or everything else. Like, it's literally been the same.
Well, that's good. That also shows that you're a humble leader. So it's good that you reflect and you look at your mistakes, but you also own them. And like, people most of the time probably don't even notice, but you know, and you go and you fix it and you make it better.
Mm-hmm. And I tell people too, you know, like, Brian's the president of the Illinois School Counselor Association. I try to be like as forthcoming as I can about, you know, because I was the president last year, like, all, like, you know, about the mistakes I made. Like, I don't really care about having like some mystique as like this perfect person, or like people having like some type of level of reverence or anything. Like, that's not my thing. Like, I believe that leadership is transparent. It's honest. It kind of mirrors like love. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, I don't know, like, you just really can't just shell up and just only show like the good aspects of your life, or like this social media type thing or whatever, like, where it's just like only your highlights, especially when you're trying to lead people and help other people grow. Like, you have to be honest and forthright.
Yeah, I agree with you. Most importantly, like, even just when administrators show they care, like, not just saying hello to you, but like actually getting to know you. Like, I think that's really important too, because it shows they care about their staff.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone encourage you or give you your first opportunity to lead?
Yeah, I mean, so many people encouraged me. So many people poured into me. I mean, like, whether it was my mom, you know, helping me get my first opportunity to teach, or as a school counselor, I was nudged over and over again by the department chair, Carla Eliff at the time, and then Karen Olson. You know, like, they both nudged me, and they're both Illinois high school counselors of the year. You know, Trish Hatch nudged me a lot. She, you know, so it was like this training or whatever that she, you know, that she had held or whatever, you know, like on a database school counseling. And, you know, I went up to her, I was showing her like some of the cool things that I was doing, like for my school and for my department. And she told me, she said, "Hey, Terrell, that's great what you're doing for your department and for your school, but what are you doing for the profession?" And like, that really just put like a battery, like, in my, you know, in my back, like, to just go out and do more. And it made me think like that it was possible for me to do more, you know, like at the national level, at the state level. I really just, you know, kind of put that, like, you know, that was something that I really valued and I really, really wanted to do, just to contribute in that way. So she definitely pushed me. Our superintendent that we have now, like, pushes me. There's just so many different people that push me. My wife, I mean, like, this is my son. Like, there's so many different people that have poured into me in my life. It's sort of like I'm like the collection of like multiple different like drinks poured into one cup. You know what I mean? And yeah, that's how you end up with someone as crazy as me.
You know, it would be really cool if you maybe had your wife and your son on your podcast, just to kind of get their perspective on, like, it's got to be hard as a family. Like, you probably work long hours and you're dealing with a lot, just how they deal with it. And like, probably there's also a lot of good too. I think people should hear that if they're up for it, but just a thought.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, so they're more, well, my son's probably not as much so, but my wife's definitely like more of a private person. You know what I mean? Like, and I try to respect that, you know, because like that's sort of her thing. But behind the scenes, like, she's involved, especially like in the YouTube process. But she's right. I mean, like, you're right. I remember when Dr. Vince Walsh Rock, he's the executive director of ISCA. He told my wife, like, "Hey, thank you for sharing Terrell with us." And like, she started crying. Aww. You know, because it's like, you know, I do, like, I, you know, like, they do share me with, you know, a lot of people and with, you know, like, around the country and with around the state and stuff like that. But I just feel like, you know, like, I'm rooted in my purpose. You know what I mean? Like, hey, like, you know, I'm going to be, try to be, you know, present and stuff like that. But like, I'm also like doing all these things, and I definitely appreciate them for understanding.
That's good. If there was one thing in education you could change, what would it be and why?
All right. One thing that I would change in education would be, I think that we need to change our funding strategy. It's not only is it inequitable, it's also inadequate. Schools are wildly underfunded. You know, like the buildings, a lot of buildings are not up to par. Even the ones that look great on the outside, a lot of times they're not the best. The teachers are not, you know, not well paid. You know, like they should be paid more. Administrators should be paid more. The profession should just be more respected. I hate to say it, but the reality is like that money talks, like when it comes to respect and things like that. Like, you know, if you're not investing money into the building, into the workplace, and giving teachers the tools, you see like all these clear the list, and there's just all of this need that would be tied to, I hate to say it, it's tied to money in the poor communities, you know, because most of the school funding formulas are like based on local taxes, and schools have to beg and plead people that might not even be homeowners, you know, in many ways, like for additional funding. And then when, like, you know, in poor cities and stuff like that, like you have people that own these properties that don't necessarily live in the community. So like when you're trying to ask for, like, you know, like additional taxes, like within the community, like either it's gonna, if they say yes, it's gonna raise the like the rent, or like they're just gonna say no, and the school is gonna be left without the resources that it needs. So right now, you know, there's a million and five other things, but I just think that we need a new funding strategy for education. Not exactly sure what it is, but we need to find a way to pay teachers at a rate that values their expertise. We need to pay administrators, school counselors. We need to improve our buildings. Like kids should not be in buildings with mold or with asbestos or and all of those different things, with books that are inadequate, with Wi-Fi that's not fast enough. Like there's all of these different things, these needs that schools have, and we just don't have the funding strategy necessary in order to do it. I think it's antiquated and we need to revisit it.
So when you're Secretary of Education, you will work on all this for us.
Right.
So that will happen someday. So do you have any tips for administrators working with school counselors?
I would say get to know them would be the first thing. You might have like a perception of what school counselors are and what they do, but I think it's really important for you to get to know them, for you to maybe attend an ASCA session or look at some of the materials that ASCA has available when it talks about like school counselor principal relationships. School counselors are so important. I mean, like I can't even, you know, in like this segment, tell you just how important school counselors are to the school, to the community. They're the heartbeat of the school to me. You know, like they're like, you know, like when everything, like, you know, as an administrator, a lot of times I have to deal with discipline, but like school counselors are often the heart, like, you know, behind that running programming that changes the mindsets, the behaviors. They elevate the schools in so many different ways, especially when they use like the model. I just think they're incredibly important, and it's really important for you to get to know them so that you can understand what they're doing, so you can put them in positions to be successful.
Yeah, that's so important. Can you share about your YouTube channel and why you got it started?
So, the YouTube channel. All right. So at first I was just gonna do like an audio only podcast. And the reason why I decided to do it was because like there was just so much negative news on like TV, and it's just like negativity, negativity, negativity. But I, you know, when I looked out the window, I was like, man, like everything ain't all that bad. You know, maybe I should be the one, you know, like 'cause you look left and right for someone to solve the problem, and then you realize that maybe it's you that needs to do it. So I realized that maybe it was my job to get out there and put out positive information into the world, you know. And the show kind of just, you know, it morphed. It started off as a way when I said like the key to success. I was thinking about like other educators that were exceptional like yourself. And like what were like the keys to them becoming successful so that younger educators that might not be in the position that they're in right now might be able to kind of take something away from that that's meaningful, that's rich, that could help them to become you know, just a better educator and to do more service for kids. And then the show kind of evolved. Like now, like we're talking about it's almost like PD sometimes. Something like I have some ideas that are about to come out, like for ways to help students. I probably don't want to leak just yet. We have a big episode coming up, and it's going to take a turn, and it's going to open up the audience a lot more, because like not only is it good for students, it's also going to be good for adults, and we're going to be learning things. Because I just really believe in learning. Like that's one thing that I'm just extremely passionate about just learning a little bit every day. So that's kind of why, like, I created the channel just to kind of, you know, to do that and to share my journey and stuff like that. And I'm learning a way to repackage all of that inside of something that is like valuable for my audience, something, because I want them to walk away with something after every episode.
Yeah, and it's really good and it's very positive. I agree. Like, I really enjoy watching your YouTube channel because you give a lot of great tips for educators. And it's just very inspirational hearing from people from all over the country. It's gotten so good and so big that you're now making money off YouTube. So can you tell us, maybe, what do you do with some of that money?
It all goes back into the channel. Every last bit of it. So if it's like a brand marketing deal, like I'm taking it and I'm putting it into the internet or into the lighting or having 1080p like visuals or whatever. Because the idea, like, to me, like, I mean, it's really not even about making money. I just want to provide like the best possible product for my audience. Literally, YouTube, when you really break it all the way down, this is about like, and this is an insider tip. It's really all about creating value for the audience. Like, it's not YouTube as in like you, it's like them too, you know. Yeah. Like, it's all about your audience. And when you create an episode with the audience in mind, like your watch time is going to go up, everything, because it's all about the audience. And it's not really about the things that I want to make. Like, there's certain things that I think are important, but they might not be important to the audience. So I focus on the things that I think that the audience wants to hear.
Yeah, that's great that you do that. Do you have anything coming up next that you can share? I know you said some was kind of top secret, but.
Yeah. So next week I'm going to have Rebecca Atkins and Alicia Oglesby on. They wrote the book, Interrupting Racism.
Oh,
so,
yes. I read that book. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good. So I have them coming on next week. I have like the Illinois Principal of the Year from like 2 years ago coming on. We got some things coming up, you know, and we're going to talk about of course, interrupting racism, and then also like just tips for new administrators, because there's a lot of people just looking on my timeline that are new administrators. So I want to make sure that I pour into them, the new assistant principals, because they need information so that they could be successful, because the job is incredibly hard. It's so, so hard. And I just think that when I was a new principal, like I had Principal Kefele, like that I could kind of look at, but there needs to be more people that are creating content that's engaging. There's some people that make the content, but it's and no knock on them, like, because they're trying and it's probably really good content, but if it's not fun, if it's not engaging, if it's not light, then people are going to struggle to digest it. So I'm trying to find a way to put the medicine inside the candy so that people will come and walk away with something that's meaningful.
Yeah, no, that's good that you do that. Especially like, I know with the administrators, like, I don't even know how they do it. That's going to be such a hard job. Mm-hmm. I try to like think of things that I really appreciate about people, like not just the counselors and teachers, but like the administrators, like I'll try to thank them for something I noticed. And, obviously really genuine. I'm not just going to be like, thank you, but hey, thank you for doing this. I noticed you did this, or I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
And then it means a lot to administrators, because I'm not going to lie. And it's not that administrators should receive a lot of thank yous and stuff like that. You know, like, you signed up for leadership, so it's kind of what comes with it. But like, you don't really hear thank you a lot. I mean, when you look at Reddit or you look at Twitter, and like a lot of people try to avoid the comments and stuff like that. Not me. I want to dive into them. I'm not going to maybe respond to them or anything like that, but I want to see what people are thinking. Like, what's the general pulse of like teachers and stuff like that? Like, what are they saying they need? Like, is there a common trend or a thread or whatever? So like, I want to go in there and actually kind of see it, like get in the mud and see exactly what those thoughts are, because it's free information for me to become a better administrator. Mm-hmm. So I kind of check those things out and, you know, so I don't know.
No, that's really good. And then you evaluate and then you come back to it and you're like, I wonder if that's what they're thinking about me.
Right.
That's important.
Right, yeah. They probably are, but I want to try to provide value to teachers. So sort of like YouTube, I want to try to provide value to teachers, value to students, and just focus on providing that value. And then, you know, when I'm not at work or whatever, find ways to pour into myself to make me happy too, so I can give, you know, more to others.
So what are your keys to success?
I would say my key to success, this book, Atomic Habits, I read it not that long ago, but I have been like thinking like this my entire life. It's just, the book is really about like that, focusing on that 1%. I try to get 1% better. I try to pick out one thing that I want to improve, like whether like with YouTube, like, all right, I want to get a better microphone, or maybe my lighting is not good, so I need to provide better lighting that makes it, you know, like just more interesting and like, you know, like a better, something better to look at, you know, visually appealing for my audience, improving like the Wi-Fi speed, being more engaging, changing my intonation. Like I just try to find things that I could just gradually improve, you know, whether it's an administrator or a husband or a father or whatever, just finding things that I could do that are smart, you know, and that I can measure, you know, that are specific, you know, and all that different stuff. So that I could become a little bit better every day.
That's good. That's great advice. I love it. Is there anything else you would like our listeners to know?
I would like to tell the listeners, I want you to never stop learning. Just always, man, like this, you know, no matter who you think you are, you could always become better at that. Some people label themselves as, oh, I'm not this, I'm not smart, I'm not that or this. But the thing is, like, you might not be yet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if you constantly put the work in and you don't try to do it all, eat the elephant in one bite. If you just gradually try to get better, you continue to learn, ultimately you'll end up in a place that you're proud of, especially when you look back. Like if you only look forward, like, you know, it might be a little bit tough, but if you look back and see how far that you've come over time, I think that it'd be truly meaningful. And that's the best way to live this life, because we only have one opportunity to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important to do that. At the end of our podcast, we like to do the Sunshine Spotlight. Can you tell me at least one thing that's made you happy this week?
One thing that's made me happy, I would say this conversation right here. It's really interesting. Like, so I had these questions, and even when you asked me the questions, I'm thinking about what I was thinking when I wrote them, you know what I mean? So I just think it's great to kind of reflect on it. Like what it's like to be in the seat, you know, that I kind of sat out there, you know what I mean? So I think that this made me smile. You know, I had like so far a really great week of recording just like videos. Like every video has been a little bit better than the last one. And I have like a really big show tomorrow where I'm going to be interviewing a much larger YouTuber than me, more experienced YouTuber than me. And we're going to have some fun tomorrow. And I'm just really pumped and excited about this. So I've been smiling all week.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to check it out. What's your social media handle in case people want to follow you on Twitter?
So I am TKEE06, so TKEE06 on Twitter, LinkedIn, Terrell Key. Those are probably the best ways to follow me. And then my YouTube channel, like, what am I talking about? You can follow me on my YouTube. That's the best way to follow me. The Key to Success. So KEE, not KEY. The Key to Success, which is like a play on my last name and stuff like that. So come check me out.
Yeah, check it out. It's a great podcast. But thank you so much for being on our channel today. We appreciate you. And if you could just say goodbye to everyone out there listening.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Reach Higher Riverside. You can follow us on Twitter at RH Riverside. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Reach Higher Riverside. You can also subscribe to our iTunes or Google Play Music and give us a rating. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And as Michelle Obama would say, when they go low, we reach higher.